We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
"20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Happy start of NFL free agency. Welcome into the Packaday podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. It is a very exciting day. It is a start of free agency. Even if it's just the legal tampering period, we will begin getting reports of actual free agents who are going to reportedly sign with teams. It's going to be a holiday of Adam Schefters and Ian Rappaports and all of the insiders, and it should be an exciting, exhilarating day, and who knows what the heck is going to happen, and that's what makes it so insanely fun. We have a ton to cover. There is a ton of buzz. There were already quite a few moves that were made on Sunday that I want to go over, some expected moves that are going to take place. Tom Silverstein reporting that Devondre Campbell will in fact get released on Wednesday. We're going to go through all of that and what that means for the Packers. We have a ton to get into, but a couple news and notes from our side of things before we get there. Shout out to all new Packaday podcast members, Adam K, Tom Hine, and TMVESQ77. Appreciate you guys signing up. Also, this is not an ad read. This is just from me. I am not paid by Prize Picks to say this. Prize Picks just recently decided to partner with us at Packaday through the remainder of this year. That is a huge deal for the Packaday podcast and for myself. And I just want to say thank you to Prize Picks for that. That means a ton to us. Number two, there are, I know, a lot of daily fantasy sports apps that are out there. Prize Picks has decided to make Packaday a part of their family. And if you are a fan of the Packaday podcast and want to continue to support it, there's obviously a variety of ways to do that. But consider making Prize Picks a part of your daily fantasy family, your family and what you are doing on a daily basis with fantasy sports. They do such an amazing job. It is so insanely easy to use. Like I said, not required to read this, not asked to read this, not a part of a paid endorsement for them today, but it is a huge deal that they have decided to do that. So consider doing that and consider making Prize Picks a part of your day, because they've made Packaday a part of their day every single day from now until the end of December. So Prize Picks, thank you. So excited to work with you guys and can't wait for an amazing 2024 of partnership. All right, we've got a ton of news to discuss, though, around the NFL as well. Here are just some of the signings and, I guess, not rumors, because these are going to happen, but Russell Wilson signs with the Steelers late on Sunday. He is going to compete with Kenny Pickett, apparently, but if they're signing him, and I know they're going to get him super cheap because the Broncos are paying all of his deal, but he's probably going to be the starter for Pittsburgh, you would have to assume, going into this year. That's a big deal for them. Baker Mayfield stays with the Buccaneers. Mac Jones traded to Jacksonville, where he's going to back up Trevor Lawrence, Fletcher Cox retires as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, and the 49ers apparently set to release Eric Armstead. And this is just like the appetizer to what is going to actually happen through the remainder of this week. Some big deals, and certainly the quarterback carousel already moving in pretty fast ways with the Russell Wilson, Baker Mayfield, Mac Jones, you know, situations. And we're going to hear more, I think, about Kirk Cousins probably right away on Monday. We're going to talk more on that in just a moment, but already some pretty significant news that happened on Sunday. In addition, one that was very near and dear to the Packers because it was an NFC North signing, and one that potentially affects the Packers in a variety of different ways as well. Kevin Byard, the safety who was recently released by the Philadelphia Eagles, signs on Sunday with the Chicago Bears a 2-year, $15 million deal. If you're wondering how they could sign him already, just remember, released players can get signed right away. They don't have to wait until the free agency period or the start of the new league year. They can immediately sign with teams. The Bears took advantage of that and signed Byard to a 2-year, $15 million deal. There's a lot actually to kind of break down with this. Number one is, this feels like an overpay to me for Chicago. This is a older safety who's coming off the worst season of his career, who saw what I thought was a pretty significant decline. Philadelphia traded for him significant assets to get him from Tennessee, and then really had no interest in bringing him back, which should tell you Philadelphia saw the writing on the wall with Kevin Byard and is like, we're out of the Kevin Byard business moving forward. We got all we could handle through the second half of last year, and he can go and sign with another team. We're going to release him, and we're good moving forward. That, I think, is an interesting aspect of this. The other, with it being an overpay, 2 years, $15 million, there's so many things we can discuss here. I guess the biggest thing is that, how does that set the remainder of the safety market? If a safety that I didn't necessarily expect to be on the top of the market is getting $7.5 million per year for two seasons, that's going to make it really interesting of what Xavier McKinney gets and what, you know, Justin Simmons gets and so on and so forth. So that does set the market in some capacity. The other aspect of that is, I personally think it's kind of an overpay now, but I'm more curious as to like how some of these safeties who are probably going to be still available in, you know, May and in June and maybe even into July before training camp starts. Like, I think there could be a player that's very similar to Kevin Byard that signed way later in free agency that gets a fraction of the contract that Kevin Byard did. This is a pretty aggressive move by Chicago. And as I mentioned, this is a declining safety over the age of 30. And the big thing from a Chicago standpoint is, and which makes me very happy as a Packer fan, he does not fit their timeline. Guys, the funniest thing about this, the absolute best part about this, we're talking in Green Bay about like, hey, Should Green Bay kind of go after these 30-plus mercenary-type hires? Because it still feels like this is a team that's sort of trending in the right direction. The window's open now, and I don't think it's like they can't go in that direction if they don't want, or if they want to go in that direction. But it we're having the discussions of like, maybe they should still kind of keep players that are in that 24, 25, 26, 27 range so that they can all kind of stay on the same timeline, which is why Xavier McKinney makes so much sense for a variety of different reasons. But Packer fans and us here on the podcast are talking about, hey, I don't know if Kevin Byard really, you know, totally still fits the Packers timeline and current play, you know, where the rest of the players on the roster are. The Bears, no concern whatsoever with that. Apparently ready to go out and compete for a Super Bowl right now. And I totally get, you don't have to always have a Super Bowl in mind if you are going and signing a player. Sometimes you just have to go and find players and add them to your roster and hope that you get better. But it is hard for me to imagine that a 2-year, $15 million deal for Kevin Byard in Chicago over this year and next year is going to open any significant Super Bowl window for them, or is going to help them during that time win a Super Bowl. And that just tells me that I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if Chicago knows how this entire thing works. They have a ton of money to spend. They have a massive salary cap surplus to go out and spend money on a variety of different things. I was shocked last year when they had that same opportunity and they go and what do? They prioritize off-ball linebacker. They go get Tremaine Edmonds and, you know, I forget who the other one was. It was Edwards, I think, from the Eagles. They go and get players that were not premium position players in what felt like pretty significant overpays. And that was like a shocking of like, they had that much money to spend and they really didn't get all that much for it. And then this year, like it's already starting with a 30 plus year old safety. To me, that just tells me that Chicago still doesn't quite have a grasp on what they're doing. And it's just a really bizarre way to start free agency, especially with all the money that they have to spend. So I love this from a Chicago standpoint. The other thing here from a Packers standpoint is the Bears probably looking at only one free agent safety. They're probably not looking for two, which means they may now be out of the safety market, which is also a big deal for Green Bay. This is a team that did have legitimate free agent money to spend. If they wanted Xavier McKinney to be a Bear, he easily would have been a Bear. They could have paid him probably more than any other team could have based on the resources that they have available. They decided to go a veteran route with Kevin Byard. And to me, all for that. And again, now that maybe takes them out of the McKinneys and the Curls and the Simmons and some of the players that the Packers might actually have more interest in. Also, this was one of the safeties I really had no interest in Green Bay. I do think he would have fit the box safety role well, but as I mentioned, significant signs of decline last year did not help Philly's defense in the second half of last season. That defense continued to fall apart through the second half of last year. And I was hoping for somebody younger, more talented, not on the decline. And this takes away a player that I thought maybe could have been a little bit of a landmine where maybe they put him in that box safety role and add a veteran aged player and it wouldn't have been a great deal. And instead the Bears are just like, we'll take him off the market for you so that we don't even have to worry about that. And the last thing I'll add here is that I wholeheartedly believe that Matt LaFleur is probably smiling a little bit because I know that he knows that he can get Kevin Byard matched up in coverage against Tucker Kraft, against Luke Musgrave, against Aaron Jones, against a variety of different players that will be mismatches in Green Bay's favor. A weird, bizarro signing for Chicago, and probably one that I didn't necessarily expect to talk about this much to open the show, but a actually really good signing for Green Bay, in my opinion. And who knows, sometimes veterans find a new spot and it just clicks and they have a great season. And yeah, I do think that Eberflus is a good defensive coach and we'll see how they use him. But as a Packer fan, I am all for this signing for Chicago and actually think that it helps Green Bay in a variety of different ways as well. Let's stick in the NFC North. Kirk Cousins is expected to hit the free agent market. It seems like he's probably going to end up in Atlanta, but there have been multiple reports on Sunday that the Vikings are still pushing to maybe sign him back. And like it does sound like Kirk Cousins does have some interest in staying in Minnesota. And I'll just say this, and I won't make a huge thing out of this, but I am legitimately torn from a Packers side of things as to whether or not I want Kirk Cousins back in Minnesota or if I would prefer him to leave and Minnesota be caught really with no quarterbacks as of this point. And on the surface, you might say, what? You would rather have them have Kirk Cousins than not have Kirk Cousins? Because actually, I think Kirk has had a winning record as of late against Green Bay, or maybe even in total against Green Bay. But here's honestly my thinking here. Having Kirk Cousins in Minnesota is the definition of staying in purgatory, staying mid, and not having any real opportunity for success. Kirk Cousins has spent 6 years with the Vikings already. They've gone 8-7-1, 10-6, 7-9, 8-9, 13-4, and 7-10 during that time. And I'm not saying Kirk Cousins wins or a QB stat or anything like that. I'm just saying how the Vikings have performed in the Kirk Cousins era overall. And some of those games he didn't even play in, but those were their records over the last 6 seasons. Overall, 6 seasons, Kirk Cousins as quarterback, they have 1 playoff win. They are 1-2 in the playoffs overall in the last 6 years with Kirk Cousins as their primary quarterback. They have paid him in the last 6 years $185 million, and they have 1 playoff win to show for it. They're in no man's land. They are in absolute purgatory, no man's land, whatever you want to call it. They have a ceiling of 10-7 and maybe 1 playoff win and a floor of probably 7-10 with no playoff wins. And they're going to be stuck in that little middle of the curve with nothing to show for it over and over and over again until they go in another direction. Now, the games with Kirk Cousins are going to be harder than if they didn't have Kirk Cousins. So when you're the Packers and you're playing them, those games are still going to be tough. Those are not easy matchups. They lost their game against the Vikings when Kirk Cousins was at quarterback last year. They won the game in which he wasn't. So if you're just hoping for easy wins against the Vikings, then you probably want Kirk Cousins just to be gone. But from a bigger picture side of things, having the Vikings be in complete purgatory and have nowhere to go and no upside and no legitimate opportunity to win a Super Bowl, that's not a bad spot for your rival to be in. And that's why I'm sort of torn on it. Now, maybe he's back, maybe he's not, maybe he ends up with the Atlanta Falcons. I think the overarching thought for me here is with Kirk Cousins, I know what I get. I know totally what I get, and I'm kind of just willing to keep it at that because it's, again, a perfect place for the Vikings to be on. Just 8-9, middle of the road, perfect. If they lose him, they're probably going to just be bad this year. Maybe they sign a Jacoby Brissett, or maybe they move up aggressively in the draft and take a McCarthy, whatever it might be, and they're probably just bad in 2024. But maybe they hit on that quarterback in the draft, and maybe he ends up being really good, and that's a little bit more scary. Or maybe they are terrible this year, but it sets him up for the first overall pick in 2025, and who knows what quarterback comes along by that time. Like, there's more variance in those situations, and it might get worse before it gets better. I think the good news is it's probably just a win-win. Either they bring Cousins back and that you don't even have to worry about it because they're just going to be in that no man's land, or they have to go in another direction and the Vikings probably just screw that up as well. So it's a great place to be in if you're a Packer fan, but I'm legitimately torn if I want Cousins back for the Vikings or not. But like I said, it does look like he's probably going to end up in Atlanta, and it probably just ends up being a win-win either way. All right, let's discuss some rumors from around the NFL. Let's start with Matthew Berry's notes from around the combine. He does this article every single year and has some interesting like buzz that he hears and like all the different stuff that's taking place during the combine. For those unaware, when the combine takes place, it is like gossip 101. Like everyone is talking, there's rumors and buzz and everything everywhere. Like everyone from the NFL is there, and it's just a crazy smorgasbord of NFL rumors that take place between everyone that happens to be there. Matthew Berry's there, and he takes these detailed notes of all the most interesting things that he hears every single year. Some of it turns out to be very, very right. Some of it does not turn out to be right. But here were his news and notes and rumors and buzz surrounding the Packers from what he heard at the combine. It's so crazy to think that we're over a month removed from actual football, and it's already the start of free agency. But despite the end of football, the action on the floor is just beginning to heat up. It's tournament season, the NBA's in its final push towards the playoffs, and there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So that means it's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. There are so many reasons why Prize Picks is my favorite fantasy app, but my absolute favorite aspect is the fact that I can log in, easily make my selections, and submit my entry within 60 seconds. Prize Picks completely changed my football season and my overall enjoyment of the game. Now, it's NCAA tournament time, and I sincerely cannot wait to combine two of my favorite activities, March Madness and Prize Picks. This week, I'm already keeping an eye out for Damian Lillard three-point makes, Nikola Jokic rebounds, and let's just say I plan on making a ton of Caitlin Clark picks over the next couple weeks. The best part is that right now you can download the app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So download that app right now and use code PACKADAY for that first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He said, number one, expect the Packers to move on from A.J. Dillon this offseason. This matches up with other things that we've heard, including from Tom Silverstein. So it does seem like everything is trending that AJ Dillon will not be back as a member of the Green Bay Packers. He also said that it's likely they'll keep Aaron Jones and likely that they draft a running back early on day three. This was the more interesting part of the running back, though. Although keeping Aaron Jones, while totally expected, is still somewhat significant because there has been those things of like, could they ultimately end up in a release? I've been very clear. I would be beyond shocked if he ends up being released or not a member of the Packers. That deal will ultimately get done. But Matthew Berry repeats here that Aaron Jones will be back in all likelihood. And like I said, bringing in an early day three running back. But here was the more interesting part about running back. He said, Emmanuel Wilson will get a shot at a real role behind Jones. They like him. So there's some buzz around the combine. Again, this is over a week ago, but he recently put out the article that the Packers legitimately really like Emmanuel Wilson and feel like he can legitimately have a role behind Aaron Jones. That's an interesting piece that we haven't really heard from anywhere else yet. And not super surprising if you remember, Emmanuel Wilson had a great preseason. He was always going to be behind both Dillon and Aaron Jones. And then towards the end of the year, they did start to sort of integrate him in a little bit more. And it's not surprising to me. He's a talented running back. Remember, he had that great play in preseason that he really showed off his burst and athleticism. That is not a super surprising thing, but an interesting note nonetheless. And then he also noted that the Packers are likely to release David Bakhtiari, which of course is what we have discussed here on numerous occasions. Also repeated by Tom Silverstein in his article from last week. Again, this seems to be trending in that direction. And that is what Matthew Berry heard as well from his notes and news and rumors around the NFL Combine. Next up is Jeremy Fowler. He said that, quote, the Packers are, well, not a quote actually, but I'm paraphrasing here. The Packers are expected to be a threat in the safety market. And this would also make sense that they are going to aggressively attack safety in some capacity, what we've also sort of expected all along. But here was the interesting note. He said he wouldn't be shocked to see the Packers involved in the Xavier McKinney and Cameron Curl markets. Mentions those two players specifically. Also said Quandre Diggs could also be an option. Now, I'll say this. This from Fowler, as I read it, seemed to be the first part that they could be a threat in the safety market. Felt like he has some like legitimate reporting on that. The other part of like the actual names involved felt a little bit more conjecture-y. Like he didn't say like per team source, the Packers have interest in Xavier McKinney and Cameron Curl, which he wouldn't because that would be like tampering. But you get my point. It didn't feel like this was a like super sourced aspect of it. And it felt more like, again, conjecture that McKinney and Curl could be the players and potentially a Quandre Diggs as well. But maybe he has heard some buzz and maybe those are names that the Packers are interested in. But we'll have to keep an eye on that this week. But he expects them to be a, quote, threat in the safety market. Then we had an article from Tom Silverstein, which the big one here was the Devondre Campbell news, which we'll get to in just a moment. But he reiterates that a David Bakhtiari release seems likely. And he did also, again, this kind of felt like conjecture-y as well, say that maybe there's a way that they could figure out a large roster cut or he could still potentially retire, which is all the things that we've been talking about with Bakhtiari all offseason. The likely route is a release. There is an option where maybe they could figure out a bare minimum deal with a lot of incentives baked in, and that could get done, but I don't expect it to. And there's always, of course, the opportunity that he could just retire if he doesn't think his body's going to respond. But everything from Bakhtiari has seemingly indicated that he wants to continue to play in some capacity. Everything you read, everything you see, everything that makes sense continues to point towards David Bakhtiari being released. And I do expect that to be the case this week. It's not set in stone. It's not 100%. Nobody's reporting it as fact or canon at this point, but it does seem to still be very much trending in that direction for David Bakhtiari. Silverstein also points out that they're still working on Aaron Jones and trying to reduce his cap number for 2024. And then the bigger thing here before the Devondre Campbell stuff, which is the really big one, but interesting that it sounds like the Packers do have interest in signing some of their own free agents back. And he pointed to three players in particular that the Packers want to re-sign: Keyshawn Nixon, Eric Wilson, and Tyler Davis. If you remember, like we've had a very short list that we've talked about here that the Packers could be interested in bringing back. These are three players we've discussed. Tyler Davis has been basically like number one on my list all offseason because going to be super cheap. I like him as the number four tight end. And remember, in 2022, he was their number one special teams player, played more special team snaps than anyone else on the roster. And you'd have to think that they at least want that back to come in and compete in the offseason here in 2024, where probably if he doesn't make the team, it's no harm, no foul, but you at least want him in camp in some capacity. That one makes sense. Eric Wilson, special teams captain in multiple games. Like, he's their key special teams guy. That totally makes sense. And also, they just need off-ball linebacker bodies, and they're going to go to a 4-3. And interestingly enough, when Wilson actually got in the game, he actually had a couple impact plays. Like, he's kind of like the perfect number five, number six linebacker, except for the fact that he's older, but still core special teamer. He's always going to be active on game day. And he's one of those players that if he actually needs to go in at his core position at linebacker, you don't feel terrible about it. Like, he's kind of fine. Like, you're not worried. You're not concerned. It's not like you're putting in a player and it's just like, oh my goodness, this guy's just going to get picked on to death for the rest of the game. Wilson's never felt that way. So that one makes sense. And then the Keyshawn Nixon one has always been sort of the complicated one, where he's probably just the best player that they have as a free agent. And it makes sense to try to bring him back in some capacity, but it's complicated because you have the new return rules, and what are those going to look like? And is it even going to be beneficial to have a significant kick returner anymore? And if not, that would take away a ton of his value. And then there's the weighing out of, like, do you view him as the legitimate starting nickel corner? If not, he might find a team on the open market that does think he's a legitimate starting nickel corner and is willing to give him starting legitimate nickel corner pay. And that could be the discrepancy there too. But it still makes sense in some capacity that they would want him back on the team. To what level they were willing to go to make that happen will remain to be seen. But makes sense that they would want him back. Makes sense that they would want Wilson back. Makes sense that they would want Davis back. And to an extent, I'm not super shocked that there's not really any other names on that list. We have heard some rumblings that there's mutual interest between Runyon and the Packers as well. But I don't know. Those names seem to make sense. And especially with Wilson and Davis, super cheap, no real downside, and could easily see them coming back to Green Bay. And that brings us to, of course, the big news from that Tom Silverstein article. Not unexpected. As we went through the, the spreadsheet, Andy, going through the likely moves and how Green Bay could get under the cap, this was always a release that made sense. We've talked about it all offseason so far, that moving on from Devondre Campbell, just as it felt like a no-brainer. And again, I'm never going to celebrate a player being released or cut or having to move on. But, at some point you have to look at the dollars and cents of things and realize this is probably the right direction to go in for the Packers. And unfortunately, this is a very dollars and cents related business. And that's how Green Bay clearly has seen it as well, per Tom Silverstein. And then confirmed by Rob Domofsky and Bill Huber and a variety of other people, Devondre Campbell will be released on Wednesday. And the reason it's Wednesday and not right now, and maybe one of the more interesting aspects of this, is that the Packers are going to use a June 1st designation to release him post June 1st, which frees up more salary cap space now and will put more salary cap hit into 2025. That's an interesting decision. Now, usually I am very anti June 1st, designations, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. Before we get there, we have to understand exactly how this contract will work. Now that he is released, Devondre Campbell in 2024 will count $3.657 million against the salary cap this year. When he's not on the team, $3.657 in cap hit in 2024. He will also count $7.971 million in dead cap hit in 2025. So he's got about $11.6 million left that the Packers are going to pay him this year and next year. In fact, $11,628,000 exactly in dead cap hit while he is not on the team. And this is like the danger of backloading contracts and doing all these restructures, is you get them cheaper when they're on the team, but once they're gone, now you've got $11.6 million that you are paying Devondre Campbell over 2 years. And those 2 years, he will not even be on the roster. 11.6 mil, just dead, gone, and not even on the team. That's what you're looking at right now for Devondre Campbell over the next 2 years. However, you do get $10.57 million in cap savings this year by making that deal now. And again, they will have then $7.971 in dead cap hit in 2025 to sort of make up for that. Now, they could have just split the difference and had the $2 million-ish in savings now and no dead cap hit in 2025. They could have done that, but they decided to do it the other way, take the big savings now, and then take their medicine a little bit more in 2025. As I mentioned, in general, my rule of thumb is I am pretty anti-June 1st designation. Just take your medicine, get it over with, clear that contract, and then move on and go from there. However, in this situation, it basically doesn't matter at all. The reason that I say that, the reason that it doesn't matter, is Green Bay is likely going to be active in the free agent market, and they are probably going to, not probably, they're going to work out a new Jordan Love contract as well. My point being here is they need to open up more money in 2024, period, end of story. Whether that be via releases, meaning like the release of Devondre Campbell with that June 1st designation, or with restructures. And here's how I view it. Yes, by releasing Devondre Campbell with the June 1st designation and freeing up the cap space now, you have to take that $7.97 million dead cap hit next year. And that moves it later on and it pushes it into 2025. And again, usually I'm against that. However, let's say they did it the other way. They get the $2 million in savings now and that 2025 cap hit is gone. So they only get $2 million now instead of $10 million, but they no longer have that dead cap hit in 2025. That's great. But they probably still need to open up another $8 million in salary cap space anyway, maybe even more than that. And how are they going to do that? They're going to do it with restructures and, you know, potentially void years and things like that. Well, what does that do? That opens up more salary cap space now and then pushes more dead cap hit into the future. Either way, whether you, because again, they're going to have to open up more money no matter what, and they're going to have to do that by borrowing from 2025 and beyond. So do you want to do that with a bunch of restructures on a bunch of contracts, or do you just want to do the June 1st designation on Devondre Campbell? It makes sense. I have no issue with it whatsoever. It's just which accounting, you know, logistical way of maneuvering money do you want to use? It matters not at all, and nobody should really be upset about it or questioning it, because either way, they were going to have to borrow from 2025 to pay some stuff in 2024, and they just decided to do it this way with the Devondre Campbell release rather than doing a bunch of restructures. And that, don't get me wrong, they could still have to do some restructures depending on how aggressive they want to be in free agency and the Love contract and things like that, but overall, should not be of any concern whatsoever to anyone. Here's the big thing I want to discuss, though. Well, there's a variety of things, but here's one of the things I want to discuss with the Campbell contract. This is why it is a, not necessarily a cautionary tale, but I want to point out how this works. First of all, when he initially signed with the Packers, it was a five-year, $50 million deal. You know, well, he's released now. This is going to end up being like a two-year, $21.3 million deal in hindsight. What we know now what it actually is. So first of all, it's a great lesson on, it's great to hear from a, you know, contract standpoint and an agent standpoint. Yeah, my player got a five-year, $50 million deal. He got $50 million in free agency. That deal, now that we know exactly how he's going to get paid and released and everything like that, ended up being a two-year, $21.3 million deal. That was that actual contract. So reported, when signed, 5 years, $50 million. Actual end-of-day contract, 2 years, $21.3 million. Just be cautious of that or aware of that as we hear all of these huge contracts coming up over the course of the next, you know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. It's going to sound great and huge and expensive when the agents announce it and it goes to the Rappaports and the Schefters. But in actuality, it's probably going to end up being a lot different in practice. The other thing here is in a two-year, $21.3 million deal, which is what it was, well, like in a normal situation, you'd expect it to be, I don't know, maybe like $8 million in year one and $13 million in year two to get to your $21 million. But this is what putting the 5 years on it and doing backloaded contracts and restructuring and everything like that does. In year one, what Devondre Campbell cost towards the salary cap was $4.24 million in 2022. In year two, he only counted $5.48 million in 2023. So during those 2 years, he only made less than $10 million. It felt like a two-year $10 million deal, paying him less than $5 million per year. That feels great. But now in 2024, they will have a $3.66 million salary cap hit when he's not on the team. And next year, they'll have a $7.97 million salary cap hit when he's not on the team. So now they've got $11 million to pay to him still, and he's not even on the roster. It's great in the moment. It's great when he is on the team and you're paying him less than his value is expected to be. But that pain does hit a little bit later. And now Green Bay has to pay that that pain in 2024 and specifically in 2025. The thing here with the Devondre Campbell situation is here was the question that you had to ask yourself if you were the Packers. He had a $6.95 million base salary left. He had a $2.9 million roster bonus, a $400,000 workout bonus, and a 323,532 per game roster bonus, a total contract remaining of $10.57 million, you know, in actual money that wasn't salary or wasn't signing bonus money that they already paid him. So the question that you had to ask yourself if you were the Packers is, would you sign Devondre Campbell to a one-year, $10.6 million deal in free agency? That's sort of the question you have to ask. Or maybe better put is, would you rather have Devondre Campbell at 1 year, $10.6 million, or no Devondre Campbell and go spend that $10.6 million elsewhere? And Green Bay decided they wanted no Devondre Campbell and to go spend $10.6 million elsewhere. They will save $10.6 million overall by releasing Devondre Campbell. And the majority of that they will now have the savings on this year because they decided to do that June 1st designation. If they thought he was worth $10.6 mil for 1 year, they keep him. It's as simple as that. They didn't. They release him. They're going to go in a different direction. And let's just be clear. This was absolutely the right move. No question about it. He had two bad seasons back to back, injury issues, looked like a shell of himself after the injuries the past couple seasons, was trending the wrong way. And there was a 0% chance that he was worth the $10 plus million that he was expected to make. And this was the right move to release him.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Let's look back though. In 2021, right? When he had that awesome season, in year one of that deal, or in the very first time when they signed him, he signed a 1 year, $2 million deal in 2021, and he became a first team All Pro. Now, I've gone obviously graded every play on that season. And sometimes, like the haha Clinton Dix, like All Pro season, I went back, I watched that, and I'm like, it was fine. It was good, whatever. Second team All Pro, probably not, but it was good. It was fine. If you go back and you watch that Devondre Campbell All Pro season, whether you want to deem it a first team All Pro, second team All Pro, Pro Bowl caliber season, whatever it was a legitimately awesome season. 145 tackles, two sacks, two picks, two forced fumbles. He was awesome that year on a 1 year, $2 million deal to add. And just an epic signing by Brian Gutekunst, and like didn't even do it until late in free agency. Just unbelievable signing. And his grade that year for me was a plus 5.7 grade, one of the best defensive grades on the team. Just a all-around stud that year and deserving of all the recognition. This was not fool's gold. Go back and watch it. It was a really, really good season by Devondre. He earned every ounce of that award. And it was really fun to watch him play that year. However, in 2022, for me, he had a negative 1.7 grade. And in 2023, he had a negative 3.0 grade, my lowest graded defender on the team. Just nowhere near. Plus 5.7 in 2021, negative 4.7 over the course of the last two seasons. Like I said, going in the wrong direction, big decline, going from a first team All Pro to my lowest graded defender on the entire team on a defense that was not good. Let's just put it that way. And he was my lowest graded player and didn't even play all throughout the season. Probably would have been worse if he played even more. However, this does open up some pretty decent size holes at that linebacker position. Green Bay is going to a 4-3. They are playing more linebackers, not less. They have three linebackers in total on the roster right now. Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie. Can you name the other one? Christian Young. I'm just kidding. I made up that name. I'm just kidding. I didn't make up that name. He is legitimately on the team. You had no idea. You might have known. But Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Christian Young. Those are the three linebackers on this Packers roster right now. This is a big hole. And as I've talked about, and I think I talked about it with Peter Bukowski, I'm not of the mind of just like, yeah, Isaiah McDuffie should easily be one of those three linebackers and one of the starters. I want competition there. I still believe McDuffie's like an ideal fourth linebacker. I think Quay fits in that equation, no question. And then you need two kind of starting caliber linebackers, one that's a legit starter going to play like the entire game, and then one that probably plays like 25% on base downs, probably even less than that. But you need bodies there. You need special teams players. Eric Wilson, again, could be a key fit there still. Maybe they bring back Christian Welch as a special teamer, but they have a gap and they need competition at the front of that linebacker group. So this was the right move to make with releasing Devondre Campbell, but this is not just a, yeah, maybe we can get somebody on day three of the draft and we'll be fine. I mean, maybe they find a stud on day three of the draft. That'd be great, but you shouldn't go expecting it. And they're going to have to address this, whether it's via aggressive free agency, whether it's like a Christian Kirksey type signing, maybe it's a Devondre Campbell type signing, right? Maybe they find the next Devondre Campbell, 1 year, $2 million, all pro. I'll take that if they can find that, but they're going to have to fill that role in some capacity. And not only that role, but like multiple spots. They probably want to keep six off-ball linebackers, maybe five at worst, but probably five or six. And right now they have two in Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker. Again, I don't think Christian Young's probably going to get too involved in that conversation. So this is a very legitimate need for Green Bay. Right move to release him. They're going to have some salary cap pain in 2025 with a 7.97 mil dead cap hit in that season. But overall, don't mind the June 1st designation. Was 100% the right call to make. And now Green Bay is going to have to fill that spot with some new players, either via free agency or the draft. Before I get out of here, a couple thoughts ahead of free agency that I have for you. Number one, I've seen people talk about, I've seen it in the comments here on YouTube, where I've been going through these free agent options and people will echo the same sentiments of like, it's either, Andy, this is a draft and develop team, they're not going to be involved in these conversations, or it's going to be another, we're involved in every, you know, conversation, or three, we're going to be talking about, hey, they should sign Xavier McKinney, and then they're just going to go out and get, you know, Tashawn Gibson or something, and they're going to, you know, get a value 1 year, $2 million guy or something like that. I don't believe that's going to be the case. I think Goody is going shopping. Now, that might just be one guy. That might be Jordan Fuller. That might be, Julian Blackman. That might be one good safety. Maybe not even a great safety. It might not be like a stud safety like a Xavier McKinney. It just might be one good safety. But I will be shocked if there's not a free agent that you're at least like excited about coming to the team. I think he's going to go shopping. And it wouldn't shock me if there was two or three of those style players. It wouldn't shock me if they did go after an aggressive big-time free agent. I think he will go shopping. I do not believe this is lip service. I do not believe this is in every conversation. I don't think he's just going bargain basement, Dollar Tree shopping. I think he is going legitimate shopping and will end up with some player, a player or players that you are legitimately excited about. Number two, I still expect David Bakhtiari to be released before Wednesday. This is always a tough one. I wish there was a way to work it out. I still hope they figure something out. I would love to see David Bakhtiari play more snaps in green and gold. Just don't think it's ultimately going to happen. Number three, I would not be shocked if every single free agent investment, bargain or not, ended up being on defense and they just continue to build the offense via the draft. Number four, keep a close eye on those Chicago Bears. It was a good day with the Kevin Byard signing. This is a team that has the ability, if they do things right, Caleb Williams likely being the number one pick, still a top 10 pick in the draft. I think what they picked 9 or 10th. And then a lot of free agent money to spend. Some really good players already on that roster. DJ Moore, Darnell Wright was a really good pick a season ago. They just get Jalen Johnson back on his huge contract. Their secondary, Tyreek Stevenson, Kyler Gordon. They've got some really good players still on this team. And they are still have the ability to, I think, turn this around pretty quick. Hopefully, Chicago continues to blow it and spend money on the wrong free agents and draft the wrong players. And hopefully they, you know, get the QB thing wrong, but just keep an eye on them. This is a very, very, very important offseason for Chicago. And if they get it right, they could be a big pain and a big problem. And if they get it wrong, thank goodness, it's just Chicago Bears being the Chicago Bears. And you would love to see that. Number five, based on some of the contracts already given, I think the numbers and the money this week are going to be absolutely insane. And I'll add to that by saying the games are not often won on the first day or two of free agency, but you can absolutely cripple the franchise by making some very bad moves on the first couple of days of free agency. We are quick to label free agency winners on the first day or two, and a lot of times those end up being huge free agent losers. Just remember that. And like I said, also remember that those contracts might look exorbitant and may end up being a little bit cheaper in all actuality when things are said and done. Last but not least, enjoy this week. What a fun week. This is the time of year where hope springs eternal and so many different free agents are going to be signed. And there's going to be frustrations and Xavier McKinney probably signs with some team and we're all going to be ticked off that it's not with Green Bay. Green Bay probably signs a couple free agents we get excited about. It's just there's going to be a roller coaster of emotions, but it should be all fun and exciting no matter what. And I'm so excited to see where things head up, especially for the Green Bay Packers. And then very last but not least today, one huge piece of injury news that we have not discussed yet, and that is that I will be going on IR. Next week, a week from today, on Monday the 18th, I will be having surgery. Nothing crazy. I will be having acid reflux surgery, which is something that's been bothering me for a pretty significant period of time. And it's unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, time to get that fixed. I initially had it scheduled for today and then recognized that's the first day of free agency, you idiot. Maybe don't do that. But I couldn't put it off any longer. And there's really in a 365 day a year podcast calendar, not a ton of great times to do it. So next Monday, the 18th, I will be going on IR for about a week. I will have episodes for you in advance. So there will be Andy podcasts next week, even though I am out. There will be regular podcasts on the audio platform from everyone else and daily draft podcasts from Ross Uglum, even while I am out. But if there is like a huge free agent signing next Monday or Tuesday and you don't get an immediate Andy reaction on it, that is why, like I said, I will be going on IR. Don't know for sure what the recovery time frame is going to look like. They say you're usually out of work for a week. For me as a podcaster, maybe that's a little bit different and maybe I can get back a little bit sooner or do a Q&A or a happy hour or something here or there. But the week of the 18th, I'll probably be mostly out of commission and just doing my best to get recovered and back before you know it. But like I said, there will be plenty of episodes still all lined up for you next week, but they will be in advance and not real time if there are any huge breaking news stories going into the week of the 18th. That will officially do it for me. Of course, I'm going to shout out Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wayne, John Wild, Shea Dad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, and David Prendergast. Appreciate you guys for being Pack-A-Day Podcast, Hall of Fame, and All-Pro members. Check out those memberships, guys. They are awesome. People are loving them. Early content. By the way, if you're looking for early content, this week I'm going to be doing all those episodes for next week as well. If you want them all early, sign up to be a Pack-A-Day Podcast member. You can get all of those episodes this week ahead of time. And of course, you're getting bonus episodes. There's so much stuff. So go check it out. I appreciate you guys a ton. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow. Enjoy the first day of free agency. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.